Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now here's Justin.
I want us, for the time that we have available, to focus on three words, a statement of Paul. And this is a statement that Paul makes, in fact, multiple times, or the sentiment thereof, throughout his different epistles. Of course, Paul being the one that wrote the most of the New Testament, we can confirm 13 out of the 27 books. That's right at half, since it's an odd number, of the or almost half books of the New Testament. And in fact, it's a phrase that when I say it, you may be more familiar with Jesus saying this phrase. Of course, I'm talking about I am. Those are just three simple words. But John's gospel account records seven different statements that Jesus says about being I am, the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus has seven. You almost could add an eighth. He says, whom do you say that I am? And he asked that question of the woman at the well. But nonetheless, I want to look at Paul's statement, but more specifically, not just I am, but Paul used the phrase, I am ready, four different times. And I want us to devote our time and attention before us to those four times. I am, that is present, that is personal, that is active, and ready, willing, able, at a moment's notice to do something, to provide some service. So the first one is in Romans chapter 1. And verse 15. Now he's already said, I am. In verse 14, he says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, the wise and the unwise. And notice, as Paul writes to the church at Rome, he's never been at Rome. But nonetheless, he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. And then he says that the gospel, he says, I am not ashamed, for the gospel is the power of God. So there's three I ams, but key in on that middle one, I am ready. Number one, what was Paul ready to do? He was ready to preach. Although I never met the Apostle Paul, one day I look forward to that meeting, being found faithful to the very end. But something tells me that you didn't have to wait too long in a conversation for Paul to bring up the fact that he was a Christian. And for Paul to bring up the fact that he wanted you to be a Christian as well. You know, he would just interweave it, as it were, into everyday conversations. Do we do the same? Or are we almost reluctant to tell people we're Christians? Are we almost reluctant to tell them, hey, we'd love to see you at church. Hey, we'd love to see you at VBS, whatever. He says in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He boldly proclaimed it. See, Paul was ready to preach, and Paul realized that there were people all around him that needed to hear the soul-saving message of salvation. Dear friends, the world hasn't changed. The world is filled with people around us that still need to hear the same message that Paul preached, the same message you and I can preach and teach. That is, Jesus Christ died for their sins. You don't have to live in your sins. You can live with Him in eternity. So number one, Paul, he was ready to preach. Back up to Acts chapter 21, if you will. Just seven or so chapters from where we are. Acts chapter 21. They are waiting to kill Paul. Paul has been giving a defense. He's getting ready to give another defense. They keep trying to kill him left and right, it seems. We're in that part of the book of Acts. But notice in chapter 21 and verse number 13, Paul answered and says, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. See, what was Paul ready to do? He was ready to suffer. Paul realized the life of the Christian has never been painted at any time in Scripture as a walk in the park or a bed of roses. It is a difficult life, but it is a worth it life. And once you figure out what the Bible says and how to live as a Christian, that becomes a whole lot easier. Don't get me wrong, but the world in and of itself does not like the fact that you are a Christian and that you would decide on a Sunday morning to get up early on your day off and come worship, or to come on a Wednesday night, or to go to a gospel meeting, whatever it is. The world doesn't like that. And so you may have to suffer persecution from your friends, your family. Why would you do that? And they'll say it, and sometimes they don't mean it as a stab, and sometimes they do. See, Paul says, I am ready not only to be bound. He says, I'm ready to go all the way. He says, I am ready to die for my Lord. Which I find interesting. You know, Peter basically said a similar statement when Jesus, before he was tried, he said, I'm ready to be bound. I'd rather die with you, Lord, than deny you. And Jesus said, no, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. And of course, we know what happened. Paul was ready to go all the way. And from what secular history tells us, Paul went all the way. He was bound. He was bound in Jerusalem. He was bound in Rome. He appears before Nero, secular history tells us. He gets to speak before him. And then he leaves that meeting and his head's not attached to his body, secular history tells us. So he was ready to do it all. Are you ready to suffer as a Christian? You know, Peter says, if any man suffers as a Christian, 1 Peter 4:16, let him glorify God on his behalf. You know, the early Christians, they counted it worthy that they were joyous, that they could suffer for the cause of Christ. We might do well to have the same idea. Go with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. Almost at the end of the 2 Corinthian letter. 2 Corinthians 12 and 14. Now notice here what Paul says. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And he's going to keep going on through the rest of that chapter. He says, I am ready to do some unpleasant work. You know, sometimes as a Christian, we've got to get down in the nitty-gritty. Sometimes as a Christian, we have to go to people, and we do it in love, Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. But we go up to someone and we say, I don't know if you're aware of this or not. I'm not trying to make fun of you. But you realize that you're doing something the Bible specifically says not to do. You meet somebody out there who is a habitual drinker, a sot even if you will. And you go up and say, are you aware that the Bible says not to do this? Because some people may be ignorant, but if they're a Christian, they ought to know better. But they may still try to be ignorant. See, notice here, Paul says, this third time I come unto you. Paul had wrote three letters to the church at Corinth. We have two of them recorded. And his tone is a whole lot different in 2 Corinthians than it is in 1. 1 Corinthians, he basically, this chapter, here's what's wrong. This chapter, here's what's wrong. And in essence, towards the end of the book, he says, I'm coming to you in a difficult manner, so when I come to you again, we can be joyous. He says, but if you don't fix the problems, it's not going to be a happy meeting. Sometimes as a Christian, we need to do some unpleasant work. It's never fun to call people out on their sins. It's not. But if you love them enough, you'll point it out. If you are cared for their soul and where they may spend eternity, you'll point it out. Is it an easy conversation to have? Not always. But if you love them enough, you'll do it. See, Paul was ready to do things that might be unpleasant, but he knew it was for their benefit. But finally, 2 Timothy chapter 4, turn with me there if you will. This kind of ties into our moment to go. 2 Timothy chapter 4, as I look at the Timothy letters he writes to, there's a noticeable shift in the tone of the letter. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. 1 Timothy, it's more joyous than the second one. You ever met somebody or saw maybe a loved one and you thought that that might be the last time you would ever see them? That kind of changes the dynamic in the room. Maybe it's a loved one who is slowly or even rapidly passing away. People are willing to let bygones be bygones in that moment and they realize their time is fleeting. It's almost as if Paul knew what was waiting for him, because from what we can tell, not too long after he writes this letter to Timothy, it's when he loses his head. So it's kind of his last parting remarks to his son in the faith. And so he gets very somber and serious at the end of the fourth chapter and the sixth verse. He says, for I am now ready to be offered. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. Now, Paul has been ready. Don't get me wrong. Paul has been ready to be offered from the beginning of his life as a Christian and his ministry. But to me, this one just hits home a little bit more, because he goes on to say, he says, I have fought. He doesn't say, I am fighting. It's past tense. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Or I finished my course. I've kept all three past tense. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And we'll pause there and come back to it in a moment. See, Paul told Timothy that he was ready to die. Paul knew he was ready to die. Dear Christian friends, we should always be ready to die in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you want to go out and jump in front of a bus. Don't get me wrong. But the faithful Christian will not fear death because they know where they're going to go. The Bible teaches, you shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free. So we can know. We can have confidence if we're doing what God's Word has said. We can have confidence. And if you're doing what's right, then you shouldn't worry about whether Jesus is coming back today. You should say, I hope He comes back today, but if not, I'll be faithful nonetheless. See, Paul was ready to die. He was ready to suffer, do unpleasant things, and he was ready to preach. Now let's preach this home, shall we? Continue that last verse. Verse number 8, he says, "Will give me a crown on that day, but notice, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing." Timothy, here's how you preach this and take it home. I'm not the only one that has this reward waiting on them. You know, we can be like Paul, and we should be ready to preach and be ready to suffer and be ready to tell people things they need to hear. And we should be ready to die in the Lord. Precious to the Lord is the death of one of His saints. Psalm 116, 15. It is a joyous, a homecoming, if you will. We need to be like Paul. We need to know that when our time comes, whether He comes back first or our heart takes that one final beat and we take our last breath, we're ready to meet the Lord. Are you ready? See, Paul's ready to go right now. No questions asked. You drop him, he's ready to go, whatever the situation needs. Are you? Let that be your motivation, if you will. Especially with our upcoming events here at the building. Be ready to go out and evangelize and to preach and to teach. But I want to ask you, are you ready to make your life right? Maybe you become a Christian, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, and after that you're remaining faithful to the very end. Are you ready to live that life? Maybe you've fallen away. Are you ready to make that right?
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Brother Dearman, and glad to have you along with us here as we continue this installment of Reading the Word. If you want to study again this lesson anytime online, you may do so at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Simply from there, you click on where it says the radio program. That's your top option there. And then you can scroll down. They're all listed by episode date. And this is program 155, simply titled, Are You Ready? And other than that, you can listen to them again, the 154 preceding it. And if the Lord permits more time, anyone after that as well. Now, since it is simply titled Reading the Word, I thought we would spend the remainder of our time together today, and I'm so appreciative of that, by the way, simply reading God's Word. And I want to be reading from the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5. We'll see how far we can get. There's a couple of stories in this section. Mark chapter 5. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters were broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He saw Jesus afar off, and he ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice, saying, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked, What is thy name? And the man answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, and they entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep hill. They were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. That's the beginning of the story of the unclean man. That's our time for today. Thank you for being with us here on Reading the Word. Until then, may the good Lord bless you and may He keep you. Please continue to pray and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.